the cool thing about javelina is once you found them in an area, as long as the habitat doesn't change drastically, you could typically find them in the same area year after year.
So my whole point of this whole trip was I wanted my kids to suffer. Not suffer that, you know, that they weren't going to be successful. I just wanted them to do it actually on their own.
Right.
And I was telling them this. I'm like, guys, you guys killed freaking shit ton of deer. Joey's already killed a freaking elk. Sebastian basically has gotten an elk. And I'm like, this is a javelina. So if you like fail by yourselves, I'd rather you fail and do it on your own than for me to find it and do all this stuff and you guys get it. But you could see how wind plays a big part when it's really windy like that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we were holding a mil and a half off target. Now, for a mil and a half, you better figure that's probably 3 MOA off target. That's how windy it was. Yeah. It was like 20-something miles per hour wind. So in that situation, we didn't want to take anything past like 300-400 yards because the wind would have just took the bullet. He gets me on it. He's like, Dad, it's right over there. He tells me exactly where it is, telling me like where the, you know, by the white rock, right underneath it, come down by the, like, he's talking me into that spot.
Right.
And I'm like, God, these freaking kids know what they're talking about. They know how to like explain to where the animal is. I'm like, that's a big plus. Like, they're freaking learning, right?
Hey guys, before we get into this next episode, I want to share a couple things with you. First, I am happy to announce the new daysinthewild.com is finally launched. Everything is in one place: my guide services, the podcasts, access to my blogs, etc. So go check it out, daysinthewild.com. If you've been following the show lately, you know that we've partnered with Bushnell and Primos. The awesome thing about that is that if you use promo code STL02, you will save 15% on anything they sell. It doesn't have to be the stuff that I use. I've been using the Bushnell trail cameras for years. I did a couple of reviews over the years, and Bushnell always came out on top. They're excellent. And I know you've heard me talk about Primos calls and how good they are, but I've also been using their ground blinds, and they're awesome. I don't know if you remember Double Bull blinds, but that's a Primos product now, or has been for a while. I also tried out a set of their shooting sticks, and for standing shots, or, you know, using for clients when we're predator hunting, or my kids that need it when we're spot and stalk and have to get in close on javelina or anything like that. It's like a really good tool. I love them. They're quick setup and they're steady. Lastly, do yourself a favor and go check out the lineup of shooting bags, glassing pads, and other accessories that Phoenix Shooting Bags puts out. Go to phoenixshootingbags.com, use promo code John Stallone, all one word, and save 20%. Rifle season is upon us, guys. You'll thank me later, I promise. Go check them out. Hey, don't forget to give us a review on iTunes or wherever you're listening. It helps me keep bringing you guys content for free. It definitely helps out our ratings and reach more people. So thanks again for taking care of that. Appreciate it. Now let's roll into this next episode. Hi, welcome to Days in the Wild Big Game Hunting Podcast, brought to you by, well, this guy, Mr. Hey. Shooting Bags himself. What's going on?
No, what's going on, Johnny? How you doing?
I'm all right. Just trying to get some stuff done here. Gonna be a quick one. Got some appointments scheduled today. I got to hit, and you know, we decided to do a little impromptu podcast. So yeah,
well, I'm here doing taxes. So
yeah, well, fun.
Oh, great time! Beautiful, I love it.
Yeah,
showing how much money I spent this year.
Oh well, at least you had some money to spend.
Yeah, you know, money I shouldn't have spent, but it's good. It's all right.
Could have been a lot worse.
Yeah, no, actually, it was a pretty good year, so I can't complain.
Yeah, despite all the bullshit, you know.
Honestly, 2020, I know it was a crappy year, but it was actually a great year, family-wise and everything, so no complaints.
Yeah, you got to do a lot of hunting.
Yeah, I know. We all did.
Yeah, no, yeah. I mean, I always kind of have about the same amount. Anyway. But so,
we're going to talk about your daughter's hunt and the kids' javelina hunt today, huh?
Yeah, yeah. Let's talk about the javelina hunts and how they went down. We're going to start with Ella's, I guess, because hers were I mean, not really. I guess yours was, I mean, or our archery hunt was first.
Oh, yeah. I even forgot about that.
I was hunting with Charles down south, and you're like, hey, I'm going to come down for a day. I'm like, all right, come down, whatever. He's like, I want to get a javelina. And why? Just tell everybody why you wanted to get a javelina. You never had an interest to kill a javelina before, and this was your first javelina.
Well, the only reason why I want to get a javelina is because now I know they taste. They taste good. The last time I had it cooked for me, I was like, oh, this thing's terrible. And then when you made me the javelina at your house, I was like, oh my God. I'm like, are you kidding me? I'm like, this is good stuff right here.
Exactly.
So I was like, all right, I'm killing one. And I've been on javelina hunts every time with you. But for some reason, I don't know why, I've never eaten meat before.
Yeah.
So the way that we cooked it, or the way that you cooked it, I was like, oh, this tastes good. And then I came up with my own recipe.
Which came out really good.
And it came out phenomenal. But that was, I cooked it with one of yours prior. So I took your meat and I cooked one.
Uh-huh.
And then I was like, oh, it's really good. So then on mine, I did a little bit different brining and stuff like that with orange juice and whatnot. So I was like, I love it. It's good.
Yeah. Basically, you took the techniques, which is what I did. I took Hank Shaw's techniques. And I just added my own twist to it.
My little flair, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
I feel like a lot of people have problems processing the meat in the field, having their knives, you know, touch that gland, and then they touch the blade to the meat, and then it tastes rancid and whatnot, or they just don't cool down the meat quick enough to make it. I think the quickest way, I mean, the way you were showing me how you process it, the way up the leg in the back,
yep,
I think is the best way. And then just go from the belly up. And I never gut any animal anymore. So
same here. You know, I watch everybody goes and most people who do the gutless method, you know, go straight up the back to the back of the head. And that's all fine and dandy with the deer and with elk and, you know, antelope, etc. But the javelina, I do it like old school way. Like if I was going to gut it, but I do everything from the bottom. I go down all four legs on the inside. And if I'm going to keep the cape, I try to follow, even if I'm doing a deer or whatever, you could follow the hairline where the color matches. That's going to be the easiest place for it to get sewn. And I go down and just past, if it's a male, it's dingling. And basically about that area. And then I zip them, you know. If I'm not keeping the cape at all, I don't go down in the middle. I just go basically, if I go down the back leg, and then I stay along that wherever it ends right there, and I go all the way to the front leg and then up that front leg.
That's what I did on all the boys. Right. I wasn't keeping no cape. I was just taking the head and the meat.
And then everything just comes off fast. And yeah, exactly. And you don't screw with that gland
in the back.
You can still, but as long as you're not being stupid, and paying attention.
I just folded everything underneath so I wouldn't touch. I would never touch it on my blade. So everything got folded underneath. So it was perfect. So we went up over there for a day, and then you guys were all scared because I was around some people that had COVID, and then I felt bad because, you know, you guys were like hesitant to be around me. So I was like, all right, you know what? I'm going to keep my distance. I was trying to be nice, and I kind of wanted to stay with you for a few days. I didn't even care about hunting deer, but I wanted to help you guys hunt deer because I know Charles wanted to get one and you wanted to get one. But I was just like, you know what? Just in case I did get it, I didn't want to give it to you guys. You know, me and you were kind of pretty far apart when we were glassing, and I wasn't staying next to you. I wasn't in the same truck as you. I was trying to be kind. So that's why I kind of felt a little weird. I didn't want to especially I didn't know Charles. That was the first time I ever met him. Mm-hmm. And I didn't want to first time meeting him, give him something that I didn't even know I had. So,
well, I mean, that shit kind of went out the door. I mean, pretty quick.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, right after you shot your javelina, you and I were like on top of each other, gutting it and whatever, or not gutting it, but skinning it and processing it. But
I didn't feel any symptoms or nothing. So I wasn't worried. Yeah, I was not worried.
I wasn't super worried. I was just, you know,
being cautious.
Cautious. Only because I had like a bunch of clients coming in and I didn't want to be knocked out for that.
I get it.
But
so that's why I went there that day, got there that morning, shot the pig, and then left. Otherwise, I would have definitely stayed with you. You know, I'm not like that. I just like, let me get home, I'll process the meat, and then, you know, cleaned up the head, and that's it. It was a wrap. And less than 24 hours, I was already home.
I owed you one for August deer anyway.
I got you. I'll take it.
So
yeah, then your daughter's hunt.
Yeah, me, you, your daughter, my middle. So it was Sabrina, your daughter, Olivia, my middle, and then Ella. And who else?
Oh, Joe. We went up there the first day. It was just you, me, and Ella. And
just
Sabrina.
That afternoon. Yeah, we went that afternoon. And it was
couldn't pick up anything. It was so windy.
Windy, and it started snow, like sleeting, and it was bad. Yeah.
Then we went up there like 2 days later, I think.
It snowed. We didn't go in the snow. Actually, I went. I went by myself for deer. And then the next day.
Oh, yeah. I went with my brother for deer, too. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And then the next day, we took Ella in that morning. And I don't know. Ella's kind of had a hard time with javelina because she's always had opportunities, but every time we go, something happens, and she's never gotten a shot off. And this ended up working out pretty good.
I had so much fun in those, whatever, I want to say 5 hours.
Yeah.
The girls are crack up.
They never stop talking, ever.
Holy cow.
Especially when Olivia and Sabrina are together. They're like, you could hear them from 4 miles away.
So loud. I love her. She's cracking me up, man.
Yeah.
Oh, God. But you guys, so let's start from the beginning. Besides, let's tell a little story to the listeners just so that people know. So we got there really early because I wanted to go on one top of the mountain and you wanted to go to the other mountain.
Right.
Right? And
That's right.
So that you guys could go on the other side with the girls, and I was going to go by myself in class from the other mountain and just radio with you to find these pigs because I always know where they are from my side of the mountain.
Yeah.
So I drop off my daughter, and then as I'm dropping my daughter with Joe, another guy comes onto the, like, gets right in front of me, and he gets to passes me. He gets to the spot, seriously, 30 seconds, maybe a minute and a half before I get there.
Right.
This guy gets out of his truck right where it is, and he starts running up the mountain, like trying to beat me up there. And I get out of the car, and I say, hey, listen, I'm not hunting for deer. I'm just trying to hunt for javelina for a junior hunt. So would you mind if I hunt?
He was a deer bow hunter, right? Yeah.
Yeah. And this guy, like, he's like, I'd rather you not. And I was like, I couldn't, like, understand. I'm like, he goes, I got another guy coming up. I'm like, I'm telling you, I'm not hunting deer, and I know you're hunting deer.
Right.
And I would have definitely helped out the guy if I would have saw the deer. I would have said, hey, I got deer here, because I wasn't going to be hunting the deer.
Right.
I was strictly for javelina. And you know how I am. If I find something, I couldn't care less. Like, if somebody kills it, great. I'm happy for them. If I found it for them, I feel like I killed it because I found it. So whatever. I was like, all right, whatever. I'm not going to even argue with this guy. He does not want me there, so I'm fine. So then we all head up to the mountain all together, mm-hmm. which honestly, I'm so thankful that guy did that because we got up to that mountain. The girls were like so giddy walking up there. They did so good. We finally got up to the top, and what? Within like 2 minutes, because you went to the opposite side and I went to the left side,
mm-hmm.
and I glassed up that freaking monster, freaking buck.
Yeah, the buck that I wounded the year before, the buck that I gave a haircut to the year before, the one we call Bruce Willis. He's an awesome buck. We've all stalked him, and he keeps surviving. Anyway, so I ran back down the mountain, down the hill, and freaking bounded a truck and hiked back over and go try to put a stalk on him. And I know I was like 3/4 of the way to him, and all of a sudden he decided he wanted to leave. He went up the mountain and up and over, and I was like, I knew that was going to happen. It's like, I kept saying to myself, I'm here for my daughter. Why am I even doing this?
I know, but it was just like a chance that we had to take. I was like, I mean, he's a giant. Yeah. He's a freaking good buck.
Yeah.
So I was like, all right, but whatever. So I'm like, oh, he ran up the mountain. I'm like, you're not going to get on. You're like, all right, listen, we're just going to focus on LL. We don't want to be doing this. Within like 30 seconds after you said that, I glassed over to my right, and boom, I'm like, I found pigs.
Yep.
You're like, I'm so close. He goes, I'm walking right up the mountain. I'll be up to you in like 3 minutes, 4 minutes. In that 3-4 minutes, I already had Ella on the gun, getting ready for a shot. And I'm so excited because I'm like, God, they're right there. They're only like 180 yards. And she shot out the 600 yards the other day.
Right.
And I'm like, Ella, this is like, I could see it with my naked eye. I'm like, it's right there. Just shoot. She's like, I'm on them. I'm like, okay. And you guys weren't ready with the binos. You just got up. You're like, oh, you're ready? I'm like, yeah, she's on it. And then, like, I should have got on the binos, but I could see it, like, with my naked eye. But you guys weren't ready. And when she shot,
we weren't ready. I thought you were still had the radio in your ear. I'm trying to talk to you on the radio. I'm like, Aunt, wait. We got plenty of time. Just wait. I wanted to get the camera set up. I wanted to film her, you know, all this stuff. And it was just, like, completely rushed.
Yeah, that was my fault. I take full responsibility, but I was still like, I'm like, it's there. Everything was done. The girls were like, the other two girls were good. They were like waiting. You know, they were right behind us. She was already on the gun. She's like, I'm on it. I'm like, oh, I don't want the pig to move. I'm like, if you're on it, I can see it with my naked eye. Just shoot. She shot low, and the pig took off, right? And
they all took off. They all took off. They were running hard. But they were running alongside the ridge.
Yes.
And
yes.
I just grabbed my binos and I ran ahead to go find where they were going to.
Yeah, and she like a champ, man. She got back up. She grabbed the bags. We took the rifle up to you. I mean, actually, you grabbed the rifle, took it up there. And I don't know, within like 2 minutes, she was already back down, ready to shoot another one.
Yeah. And really, they didn't get any further away. I think she was like 200 and... Oh, wait, was it less? Might have been less.
I think she shot at like 200 yards.
Yeah, 212 or 220, something like that. Yeah. Yeah, it was like 212, 220. Yeah, the second shot she didn't miss.
Oh, yeah, it was a one-shot, boom, done.
She shot it, like, center-punched it, though, which was... Yeah. You know what? I swear to you, I think...
Everybody's
center-punching them. Other than you and me... Everybody who shot a javelina with me this year shot him in the guts.
Nope. Kelly and Sebastian.
Well, I didn't get to see the shots.
Oh, man, perfect.
I didn't get to see the shots, man.
Oh my God, both of those kids, man. They both got money shots. I didn't lose any meat, and the pig just like boom dropped 2 seconds. Both kids.
Yeah. So.
And.
Anyway,
no guts, no nothing.
We got down there. We processed that one pretty quick. We had the whole entourage. We hiked it back. On the way back, Olivia tried to shoot a jackrabbit at like 7 yards with the 6.5 and missed. But
that's hard. That's hard. She's shooting off that standing bipod thing.
Yeah, no, it wasn't.
That's not easy.
We were so close, though. I don't know. I don't even know if she could even see it in the scope. It was so close. But that was
we'll
fun.
Get her one.
That was fun. You know, then fast forward to the general season. I had 12 clients. And, you know, actually, I think... The first six guys, we tagged them out on the first day out of 5 different herds, which was awesome. And people ask me all the time why I even mention that. Because of this, I'm very adamant about not taking too many javelina out of the same herd, because once they drop below a certain number, especially if they get to like five, their chances of survival go down drastically unless they meet up with another herd. So the cool thing about javelina is once you found them in an area, as long as the habitat doesn't change drastically, you could typically find them in the same area year after year. And the way also to ensure that, we don't take that many out of that group. We just have a bunch of areas that we know year after year are going to have javelina in them. And
yeah, you had like 30 spots.
Yeah. And
in those units.
And they produce for us every year. That's why we have the success that we have. You go in there and you let five guys shoot out of, you know, a herd of 10 or even 15. Now you've decimated a herd and you may not have javelina in that spot anymore. So
you guys do it right.
That's the main reason.
That's how it's supposed to be done.
That is the main reason we do that. So we had a great, you know, great time with it. I do want to tell you, I tell you the story about my friends Art and Michelle? So
I don't know. You didn't tell me anything about that.
Okay, yeah, because I wanted to save it for when we talked on this. So they came down.
I think you did tell me. You could tell it again, but I think you did tell me about the one.
It got up.
The husband and wife.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, you did tell me. Yeah.
So they film a TV show. He used to be a cameraman for Ralph and Vicky Chanterullo, the Archer's Choice. That's how he kind of got into the industry. And they had their own show. And his nephew had been asking him to come, who lived here. He lived here in Arizona, to come hunt javelina with him. And he never made it down. And unfortunately, his nephew passed away recently in January, I think it was. So he really wanted to do this hunt. And he came down, him and his wife. And the first morning of the hunt, it was windy as shit. And Shane that was guiding Derek, which is one of your students from the shooting classes. And we went together to this area. And Shane was getting frustrated because it was so windy. We weren't picking up anything. And this was like one of our 100% spots, and he wasn't picking up anything. So he left to go to a different spot, and I stayed down there with them. And I just kept working my way, looking in these cuts that I knew would be out of the wind and still have sun on them. So I was being real picky and choosy as where I was looking. And it was like 9 o'clock in the morning. I finally found 9:30. Yeah. Something like that. I finally found a group of pigs, and we're like 380 yards from them. Anyway, so I get her down, lay her down. We were going to have her shoot first, get her dialed in, lay her on the shooting bags. And she shoots this javelina, and it drops, and it does that little slow roll down the mountain a little bit and into a group of bushes, right?
Yeah.
I'm thinking, cool, done deal, right? All right. I'm like, come on, Art, let's jump on the gun. I get him laid down and set up in the right directions. And now they're at like 400 and I don't know, 450 or something like that. They're further away now. But they're not running. They just kind of like moved up after that happened. And anyway, he goes to shoot. But they're like right on. They're right at a point that they're going to go around this like the horizon. And we're not going to be able to see them, right?
Uh-huh.
So anyway, he's like, okay, I got him. And he goes to shoot. And right as he shoots, the pig that he's shooting at takes a step forward. So he hits literally like right behind his ass. And now they go running. So now they're running, and I'm like, oh, fuck, okay. I'm like, I look up the mountain. I'm like, okay. And I got a real good mental picture where this other javelina that she shot is. I'm like, let's let it lay. Let's run around here. We jump in the truck. We drive around, actually, because it's all the way around this other side of this ridge. So I run over to the other side, and I can't see them from the road. So I'm like, all right, listen, we got to hike up this other ridge. That's basically, there's like a big cut between these two ridges, right? And the pigs are on the left side, and we climb up the right side. We get up there about, I don't know, maybe 200 feet in elevation from where the truck's parked. And I get there, and I can see, and I drop, you know, I'm waiting for them. They're behind me. They're hiking. I got up there faster, you know, and I supped the pigs. I'm like, oh, okay, I found them. They're all back to feeding. They don't give two shits, you know? So, and there's a couple that are like really in distinct areas. And there's one that's sitting right underneath this big, very distinct saguaro cactus that has a whole burnt bottom. Anyway, they finally get up to me. I'm like, all right, you see this cactus? Da 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 da. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah, get him laid down, get him going. And this one I get on film. Actually, I got hers on film too, but I didn't get his shot on, the first shot on film. Anyway, so he lays down on it, boom, shoots it, drops it. We're at like 230 yards from him or something like that, 220 yards. He drops the pig. And now in order for us to get to his pig, we have to go down this cut all the way through this like thick cat's claw shit. And I'm like, you know what? Let's just go back the way we came, go down to the truck, go up and get hers, come down, go over the edge and come down the cut to yours. Cause I know it's right by that saguaro. I'm going to find it. So we do that. We go down to the truck, we drop everything but my pack. And I think he brought his pack and that was it. You know, some water and this stuff.
No rifle, no nothing.
Oh, I kept my binos on because I was like, oh, maybe I need my binos to look around to see, to find hers. Anyway, so we're walking and we get up there and it's like 600 foot elevation where hers is at, like a climb. It's quite a bit of, you know, of a ridge to climb up. Real steep. We get up there and I turn to her. She's with me. Art is 100, like maybe 60, 70 yards to my left. And I go to her, I go, he should be right around here. And I take one step forward and boom, freaking pig goes running out. And I'm like, son of a bitch, it's still alive. And at first I didn't think it was hers. But I pull up my binos and I can see the blood spot. I mean, bro, it was literally in the bread basket. And I cannot for the life of me figure out how this thing is alive. But it's alive. Anyway, so it runs about 30 yards and stops, you know, and it's just standing there motionless behind some bushes. And I'm like, okay, just stay here. Keep an eye on it. I walk over to Art. I'm like, I get him to find it. And I give him my binos. I said, okay, keep an eye on it. Okay, cool. I run all the way down the freaking 600 foot thing, all the way down to the truck, grab the rifle, run all the way back up. And then, you know, the last like 100 yards or so, or 50 yards or so, I, you know, snuck in. I literally get to her and the freaking thing runs off. And I'm like, fuck. Now it runs off. It goes up higher and up and over the edge. I'm like, come on. All right, so we go all the way up there and we get to the edge and I'm glassing. And I pick up its nose sticking out of this bush. And I'm like, okay, it's right down here. It's about 100 yards down here. So she's trying to find it. You know, she can't find it in the scope. All of a sudden, it takes off again. And now she could see it. And she freaking shoots this thing like 200 yards offhand on the run. Boom.
Oh my God.
Rolls it. But now it's in that deep ass cut that I told you that we didn't want to go down in, right?
Uh-huh.
I'm like, son of a bitch, man. Okay, so I go down, I get the pig, and I drag it back up. Got to climb through all these boulders and shit, drag it back up to about a level where we can go get his now, because we wanted to take pictures with them together and da 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 da. So, anyway, long story short, we end up going to get his and hers and. It was a long day. We shot hers, like I said, at like 9:30. We didn't get back on the truck until like 2:00.
Wow.
Yeah, for javelina. Yeah, it was pretty crazy. And then we met back.
At least I'll have that story, you know what I
mean?
Yeah,
yeah. No, it's cool. Actually, I'm helping them edit the video and stuff. I'll have something on YouTube here soon.
But I mean, how cool is that? Husband and wife both at the same time.
Yeah, no,
that's crazy. You know how, like, we always think, oh, let's not carry the rifle. Like, I didn't carry either one of the rifles back to go get the javelina because I was like, I don't want to carry the weight.
Right.
But you just never freaking know. You never know.
I mean, I thought for sure, that was dead javelina. I mean, you know, if it like ran off or something, I probably wouldn't have, but it literally just dropped and rolled, you know, legs straight up in the air, rolled down. And I was like, okay, it's done, right? But
which bullet were you using? The 143 ELDXs, right?
Yeah, the 6.5 Creedmoor. Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah, it was nuts.
So that day that you were over there mm-hmm. is the day that Sebastian shot his Javelina that morning. That's the same day that Sebastian shot his Javelina.
Right.
Yeah, so that was the day when I was – that's the day we left, but we ended up staying an extra day. So let's go with the kids freaking – oh, my God. That was just unreal. And I think the boys are actually coming home right now, and they can maybe tell their side of the story. So
I had 2 days in between clients to help you guys.
Yeah. Well, we had six tags between – I mean, six tags, three kids – I mean, four kids and two adults. So we had.
Who? Oh, really Gaspar had a tag too?
Gaspar had a tag. Joe had a tag. But okay. We really had, you know, we really wanted to just focus on the kids.
Right.
And.
I didn't know Gaspar had a tag.
Yeah, so Gaspar did have a tag.
Okay.
So Gaspar's son has never, ever shot anything. He's 16 years old. He's never shot an animal.
Never even shot a gun, really, until what? Like 2 weeks before the.
Yeah, 2 weeks before the hunt. So. I mean, Gaspar's son's come on like scouting trips with us before in the past, mm-hmm. but I guess for some reason we never shot the guns on those scouting trips, which I don't know why we didn't, but I think it was just because it was during bow season or what, but we just never shot the guns. So Gaspar reached out to me and I said, listen, why don't you take your son, come with me to Cowtown. I'll take him there and we'll start shooting the guns and I'll teach him what to do. Gaspar was all about it. His son was excited, but the kid has never shot a gun, and I spent the first hour of, because we took like a 3 hour, I took 3 hour time slot, mm-hmm. spent the first hour just dry firing with him, getting him used to like finding everything through the scope from the binos and whatnot, and he was doing great, but, you know, he was getting that little trigger, you know, he kept on putting his finger on the trigger, and I kept on telling, hey, you can't put your finger on the trigger until you're ready to shoot. You know, he's got that, you know, he had that mentality of like a little kid, like, you know, just trying to shoot the gun.
Right.
So I had to break that habit real quick with him, and he picked it up real fast. However, he was very hesitant when I was about to put the bullet in. Mm. And I was like, listen, and I had to like kind of do like that Joel Turner, keep on pulling with him just to like, because it brought me back to when Sebastian like got scoped in the eye and I had to like retrain him to do everything.
Yeah.
So he was like super nervous. And I was like, you know what? Listen, I'm going to show you something. I'm like, look at this. Is my 8-year-old daughter. She's shooting the same gun. It's got no kick. Nothing's going to happen to you. I promise you, it's like a pussycat of a gun. So on the first shot, we did a shit ton of dry fire. So on the first shot, I'm like, all right, I'm loading a round, right? He goes, okay. So what I did was I put the bullets in there. However, I cocked the gun without a bullet inside of it, mm-hmm. just to test out the waters to see what he was going to do on the first one. Mm-hmm. I kind of, in my mind, I was like, should I do it? Because then he's like, finally can get that first shot over with, or should I really like show him what he's like? I knew he was going to flinch. I knew he was going to do something bad, just because the second I told him I put a bullet in there, he started like sweating and like getting like. Like already nervous, and mm-hmm. I was like, listen, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. Finally got the courage to pull the trigger, and he freaking jerked that trigger as fast as possible to get, you know, and it just went click. And I said, see, you did everything I told you not to do. I said, we got to follow the directions.
Yep.
And he's like, how, what happened? And I'm like, I didn't load a bullet. His father was in the background cracking up like, I knew exactly what he did, you know? Mm-hmm. He's like, I'm like, listen, we need baby steps. I'm like, let's follow everything that we did. So took everything out, put back the bullets. This time I said, all right, what do we got to do? Keep on pulling, keep on pulling, keep on pulling. He makes his first shot at 300 yards. Boom, nails it. You could see the kid's relief after that first shot. Mm-hmm. And it was like a crisp trigger pull. He just like, he relaxed right after that. After that first shot, second shot, he was still a little bit hesitant, takes the second shot, and he's like, okay, I got it. Boom, he starts shooting. That day, I believe he shot out to like 600, a little over 600 yards with and he got to test out all the rifles. So I took the 6GT, maybe I didn't take the 243. Maybe I just took the 6.5 Creedmoor. But he felt comfortable on the 6.5 Creedmoor. And I said, you know what, guys, I'm going to let you use this rifle for the hunt because I know my ballistics. And he was shooting that gun great. I'm like, my kids are going to shoot the 243. I'm going to give you this gun.
Right.
So my whole point of this whole trip was I wanted my kids to suffer. Not suffer that, you know, that they weren't going to be successful. I just wanted them to do it actually on their own.
Right.
And I was telling them this. I'm like, guys, you guys killed freaking shit ton of deer. Joey's already killed a freaking elk. Sebastian basically has gotten an elk. And I'm like, this is a javelina. So if you like fail by yourselves, I'd rather you fail and do it on your own than for me to find it and do all this stuff and you guys get it. I said, I want you guys to like kind of hunt together. I wanted my boys really to hunt together.
Right.
And I told him, I said, listen, I'm going to help out Gaspar's son, Antonio, and I'm going to focus more on that. However, I didn't know you were going to be able to help us out because I know Joe was going to be with his nephew.
Right.
So when you called me and said, hey, I have 2 days to help you out, I was like, all right, swoon. I'm going to give you my boys and I'm going to hunt with Gaspar and his son. So
that
then
didn't really work out that way, though.
It did not work at all. Like the way I had it mentally pictured in my head, I was going to be like just with Gaspar and his son, and like it was going to be calm and collective and, you know, how I normally do things and not rush shit, kind of not rush shit. And everything got like, you came, Shane came.
Yep.
Guys, we were all together. It was all six of us together, glassing. And actually, it was more than six of us. It was like...
No, it was five adults. Because Billy was helping, too.
Yeah. Well, no, Billy wasn't there with us. Billy stayed with Joe that first day. Billy wasn't there with us.
That first morning. Oh, yeah. You're right. My bad. It was me, it was you, Shane, me, you, Joe. Shane... And Gaspar.
Yeah, and then Joey, Sebastian, and Antonio.
Right.
Yeah, and Joe stayed back with his nephew.
Yeah. And that first morning is when I glassed up the pigs.
Yep.
To the south of us. And we went against my whole what I wanted to do, but we went as an entourage. Shane stayed back with Joey, and Joey had them at 800 yards in my gun. And we went with you, me, Gaspar, Sebastian, and Antonio.
And I will never do this again.
Yeah, I was like, well, for one, honestly, had those pigs been calm, that would have been a totally different situation. But as we were getting up there, there was deer mixed in with those javelina. We wanted to get as close as possible. We got to what? 260 yards or something like that.
And it was like, yeah, it was close.
Yeah, 250.
Like 240.
Yeah, something like that. Whatever it was. Those does busted. And then the javelina became like skittish. They were like kind of, they didn't know where to go. They didn't run away, but they were kept going back and forth. And they didn't know where they, you know, they knew something was up, but they weren't sure what that was. We should have just sat there. I mean, there was a lot of what ifs, but we should have just sat there and got calm, let everything calm down, but no, we didn't do that. We didn't do a lot of things that I wanted to do. And
yeah, we didn't do anything that I wanted to do either. And I felt so bad. Like, I feel like a terrible parent and guide and friend and everything. I was like, oh, because I really wanted Antonio to shoot, mm-hmm. but at the same time, you know, we were thinking about doing this 1-2 thing, and I'll never do that again. What I'll do is have, like, I should have had Antonio set up and not have Sebastian set up, and then get hit, like, just focused on one. Because mm-hmm. Antonio was looking at one, Sebastian was looking at one, and Antonio couldn't find them in the scope, and Sebastian's like, oh, I'm on it. And they're like, okay, which one are you on? And then Antonio's like, oh, I'm on it. And then we're like, oh, which one are you on? And it just kept on like going back and forth. And then Antonio would lose it in the scope. He couldn't find it anymore. And Sebastian is just like, hey, I'm on. Can I shoot? Like, and I'm like, in my head, I'm like, oh, I didn't want to say yes, but we said yes, go ahead. And he keeps on, he's like, I got to figure out something. I'm going to buy some like different ear things for this kid because...
Got to buy the electric ones where he can hear people talk and then shut off. Yeah, that's it.
Exactly. That's exactly what I'm going to do. And I need, like I said, because he couldn't hear us.
Yeah,
you're talking to him, and he's not answering you.
Nobody's understanding what you're saying right now with telling a story, but like because we were both there. But Sebastian, Anthony's son, sticks his earplug so deep in his ear that he can't hear you talking to him, can't hear you giving him directions.
Correct.
That's the problem. So what happened was, is he's like, I got one in the scope. Can I shoot it? And we're like,
and he's talking to us and we can hear him fine.
And I'm telling him, wait, I'm walking over to him. I kneel down next to him. I take my freaking earplug out of my ear to tell him something because I don't want to yell it to him. I want to say it to him quietly again because we're so close. And boom, he shoots. My freaking ears ringing like a son of a bitch.
No, because you start talking to him. No, hold on. You started talking to him,
uh-huh.
And he's not answering you back, right?
Yes, that's why I went
and
over
then
to him.
And then I walked over to him to be like, what the fuck is going on? Kind of like, why aren't you saying something? And I'm like, I'm getting there. And I took my eyes off the freaking thing. Because we're talking about like more than 30 seconds of him, you trying to get him to do it. And I'm like, yo, I got to go to my son now. Like, well, why is he not answering? And the second I started going to him, boom, he shoots. And I'm like, what the f-? And we see everything scattering. And thank God Shane was in the back. And he's like, listen, he shot clean miss. You know, he saw everything.
Right. Yep.
And then we went up there to go check it out after he shot. And the pigs like scattered and ran away.
Right.
And then we went back there and checked it out. And obviously we didn't see no blood, no nothing. But, you know, neither one of us was ready. He just like, I feel like he just jerked the trigger. He got it on there and just jerked the trigger.
Right.
This kid never misses at 200 yards. I think it was just too much pressure. Everybody around, he wasn't comfortable. He wasn't like, you know, steady. And he just shanked the shot, man. It happens.
Yep. And that sucked too. Cause I was like, man, you know, we had a perfect opportunity. And then what? Again, that evening we get on, I took Joey by himself. Right? Was that I took Joey by himself. It got super windy. I took Joey by himself and that was the night that Antonio shot a couple of times, right? Three or four times?
No.
I'm so confused.
Antonio shot the next morning. Nobody shot that night.
Oh, that's right. Nobody. We couldn't even find pigs that night. But
it
I took Joey. Yeah, I took Joey and I couldn't find him a pig.
And I took Sebastian and Antonio.
Right.
With Gasper. And Joe stayed with his nephew.
Right. And then the next morning.
And then the next morning.
We started in the same spot.
Correct.
And I said, okay. And I was, that's right. Now we were all glassing together and Joe went with Billy to the South Canyon. And I said, okay, listen, these javelina, you can see that big square rock up there. They're going to be underneath here eventually. They're going to be here somewhere. And I spotted them and nobody believed me because we couldn't find them. They were in some thick shit. And we were like a mile away at this point looking into this canyon because that's the only place you could see it from over there. And anyway, so we hear Joe shoot, not Joe, but Anthony, Joe's nephew, shoots. And then he calls us on the phone. He's like, yeah, we got him. We got a group of pigs. I'm like, okay, should I bring one of the kids? Because I was the only person who knew where he was. I'm like, should I bring one of the kids to you? Is there another opportunity? Yeah. Come to me. All right. So then I grabbed your son, Sebastian. Him and I fly over there. I get all the way over there and the pigs are nowhere to be found.
So where you went with Sebastian and took Sebastian, I was actually there the night before with Gaspar and his son. And Sebastian.
Right.
That's where we were glassing for pigs. And what's so funny is that we saw so many good bucks.
Yeah.
And what I did was I got Antonio to lay down and just dry fire on those bucks. And he's like, oh my God. He goes, I got to kill these bucks all day long. They were like 200, some was like 200 yards away. Some was a couple were 300 yards away. But he was like, I made him practice. And him and his dad were working together, which I was so proud of him. And he finally, you know, he's getting around the scope. And he's like, I feel like the deer is easier to kill than the pigs. I was still hacking my ass off because I'm like, that shit never happens.
Right.
I'm like, every time I go freaking deer hunting, they're like, you know, scatterbrained or it's like real tough or whatnot. But This deer was just hanging out there. I felt like he had like a bug in his nose because he kept on like sneezing. Yeah. I wish I would have took video of it.
Yeah, coronavirus.
Yeah, that's what I thought he did.
So,
but he was like a good 95-inch buck. And
I spent like 2 hours shooting with Antonio too. When was that? Was that after that was after the first morning.
Yep.
Yeah, because I had him freaking shot 880 yards with your freaking gun, bro. 880 yards at a boulder that made it maybe a 12-inch boulder.
Yeah, no, he could shoot. Like, he was doing great shooting. Yeah. But he just got nervous. He was getting nervous. Just every time, like, it was just, you know, it's his first hunt. I get it. Trust me. Everybody gets nervous. But he wasn't nervous on the deer.
Yeah. No,
he was not nervous at the deer. Because I feel like he knew he couldn't shoot it. Yeah. That's why he wasn't getting nervous. But I'm sorry. I didn't mean to take away. I just wanted to make sure that I wanted to, like, say, like, you know, we were right there as well. So I kind of knew where you guys were. And then, you know, the kids, you know, so Joe's son shot over there. You guys went there. And then we went where you told Shane. Shane found the javelina where you said, hey, they're going to be over there. Sure enough, freaking Eagle Eye Shane over there freaking glasses them up. And then we take the hike down there. So we hiked about a mile in there. And we got within like 200 yards, but the wind changed on us. And when the wind changed on them, the freaking pigs started scattering everywhere. And one thing is like, I mean, Shane, like, he's awesome at hunting, whatever. But he's got to remember, man, like, things that he could do shooting-wise, not everybody can do or not everybody has practiced that. And we were like 200 yards, and Shane's like, just put the rifle on top of my tripod and shoot up the tripod. But you can't ask somebody that's never done that to do that and expect them to shoot like that. Mm-hmm. And Antonio was having such a hard time trying to get and like feel comfortable there. He's just shaking. And I'm trying to coach him to it. I'm just like, listen, man, we can't do it this way. I'm like, we have to lay him on the bag. It's the only way he knows how to shoot. Because, you know, I didn't have time to teach him everything. So,
right,
the pigs started scattering, and they end up getting to like, we got them at like 200 yards, and now they're at like 400 yards. So we end up putting them on the bags. So we got them on the bags. And during this whole thing is, I have no binos with me because I couldn't figure out where they were. I'm like going where Shane's like, they're right there. And you know, when somebody says they're right there, if you can't see them, you can't see them. I wish I would. I gave my son my 8x, my handhelds.
Uh-huh.
And I took off my 15s off the tripod because I was going to have him shoot off my tripod with that, you know, that little system that I have now, that little catchment that carries, that has a TBD bag on it.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to have him sit and put the gun on there and have the big rear bag on, you know, as a rear rest, have him sitting and shooting, because that would have been a way more, you know, steady platform than what he was doing standing. We tried doing that. It wasn't working. Couldn't get comfortable. And then we're like, all right, we have to lay this kid down. Like, there was no way of getting the shot out. So we finally laid him down, and he got comfortable. And it's 400. Shane called it out. It was like 420 yards, whatever it was. And I know this kid can make that shot because I've seen him make it. And he's like, I'm on it. I'm like, all right, whenever you're ready, take a shot. We were on the pigs. He shot. Boom. Straight miss right above him. And I was like, oh! And then after that one shot, they went scattering, and they went up and over, and there was no way we were going to keep up with them. And we just didn't get another shot off, you know? Oh. But I was just like, oh, this poor kid, this kid has got to get one. And Joey was with us, and Joey was like, oh my God, he's like, I can see him.
Yeah, I know Joe was chopping at the bit because he you kept holding him off because we knew he was going to be able to do it. He's like a little savant, that kid.
Well, I know the whole thing is this. Listen, his ass, I got to hunt with him for 6 days.
Yeah.
For elk hunting. He was on the bottom of the list right now.
Yeah.
And I told him that. And I told him from the beginning, I said, listen, you come with me. My main focus is Gaspison number one. And number two, your brother's number two. So I didn't want to take away from Sebastian because I didn't get to hunt with them the whole year. And these kids, you know, they're always in school. They got this, they got that. I don't get to spend that much time out in the field with them like I did when they were younger.
Right.
So I feel like, hey, I already put in my time with Joey this year. And I put a lot of freaking time with Joey, especially scouting and all this other stuff. So I was like, I kind of want your brother to get one so he could say he got something this year. But also, I wanted Gaspison to at least get one animal underneath his belt for the first time. So,
right.
So Joey's like being at the bit. He's like, God, but he was excited also for Antonio because Joey's like that. You know, he always wants everybody to do well. But at the same time, you know, he's a man. You know, he wants to get something himself too. I mean, don't get me wrong. You're going hunting and you know you can make that shot. Of course, he's going to be like, damn, like, I feel like I could have made that.
Yep.
And guess what? In my honest opinion, if I put Joey on that tripod standing, he could have done it because I know he could have done it.
If I would have had Joey with us the first stalk that morning, we would have definitely got one. I know it. I bet you we would have let him shoot from 800 yards. He would have got it.
Yeah, I don't know about that, but yeah, he's like a natural bone killer. So,
but anyway, don't let him listen to this podcast. You're gonna get a freaking big
head. He's waiting to get on the podcast. So.
Oh, is he there?
They just walked home. He knows. So I'll come get him down, and I'll let him tell his story. So whatever. So that morning, whatever, we met up with Joe and everybody. You know, we hung out. We took pictures with the javelina with Anthony and all the kids, and then we had everybody shooting all my rifles and making sure everything was right. And so everybody was taking a crap ton of shots with the rifle. Everybody was, I mean, some shots, I mean, it was really windy. So some shots was getting taken by the wind.
Oh, yeah. I was there.
Yeah. We're not talking 400 or 500 yard shots. We were taking 1,100 yards, 1,200 yards, 1,000 yard shots. We're doing long distance.
I know. I was very impressed with my 22 Creedmoor.
I think it's badass. But you could see how wind plays a big part when it's really windy like that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we were holding a mil and a half off target. Now, for a mil and a half, you're going to figure that's probably 3 MOA off target. That's how windy it was. Yeah. It was like 20-something miles per hour wind. So in that situation, we didn't want to take anything past like 300-400 yards because the wind would have just took the bullet.
Right.
So whatever. That night came, you had to leave. And I told Joe, I said, listen, Joe already shot with Anthony, and these pigs kept on coming through Billy's camp all the time. So I'm like, their best opportunity was to stay by Billy's camp, and Joe and Gaspar and his son would stay there. Because I mean, Joe's a freaking sniper shooter. Joe's awesome. So I knew Joe, Gaspar's son was in good hands. Now, I only have that night to get my kids to shoot. Because they had to leave.
Mm-hmm.
And I was trying to talk Joey into staying to miss school and have, if we found one that night, we were going to have Sebastian shoot. So I left Gaspar and them with Joe, and Gaspar and Antonio with Joe and Anthony. And I took my two boys and we went walking like all these washes. I'm like thinking I could push one up, find something, and we're going to get on them. I spent from like 1 o'clock to 4 o'clock doing that, 3 hours, and we didn't pull up nothing. I mean, we had a good time. We saw some deer and whatnot, but we saw a couple bucks. You know, we pushed up a couple bucks. We didn't see any javelina. So then I'm like, what the hell am I going to do? And you're like, just go to the spot where I was with Joey the night before. And I'm like, all right, I've never been there. Even though it's not too far from Billy's camp, you told me where to go, dropped me a pin, and we went there. So now I have my two boys with me, and we're going there. And Joey's like, oh, I know where it is. Come here, follow me. And he takes me to the spot where you guys sat down, right? Joey, you want to tell the rest of the story? Come on. You want to tell us? Come tell your story. Come on, hurry up. So we're going over there, and Joey is like, Dad, can I – he goes – I said, listen, Joey, if we get here – I put this in you. If we get there – and we see something, your brother's shooting. And Joey's like, he knew what was going on. He's like, all right. Mm-hmm. So we start glassing, and I'm glassing. We're seeing deer. Sebastian's finding deer. And then Joey goes, Dad, I got javelina. He goes, all I see is one. He goes, come over to me. So I come over to him. I go over there, and shit you not, there's only one javelina. And then he looks at me with these puppy dog eyes. he was like, "Dad, can I just shoot it?" He goes, "I didn't get one shot today. I didn't get one shot for the whole time." He goes, "I didn't even ask to shoot." He goes, "I found it. Come on, let me, can I shoot it?" And I'm like looking at him and I'm looking at his brother that's right there next to him. And I'm like, "You're freaking right, man. You're right. You found it." I'm like, "It's, I got to give you a turn. I got to give you a shot." And I look at his brother and I said, "Listen, Sebastian, I hate to be a jerk, but you did find it." And I'm like, "I'm going to have him shoot." And then I could just see like Sebastian's like disappointment, you know, like, "Oh God, he's going to get another one again before me." Cause Joey shot his first deer before him. And I'm like, "Oh," I'm like, it kills me inside that this kid's got to go first again. But I'm like, you know, what do you do in that situation? So go ahead, Joey, tell him your story on that. Go ahead. Can you hear?
Yep.
Okay. All right, so once I found the javelina, and I, what my dad just said about how I asked to shoot, and my dad set up the gun with his Phoenix shooting bags, and so we got it on. I knew exactly what it was because the whole time I was just watching it. I was just standing behind this Ocotillo, and right as I got on, it starts to move a little to the right, and my dad's like, "Oh, I moved forward." So he's like, put a click down, so I put a click down.
Tell him what the click down is. Like, so you're doing, you know, we clicked it up. I think it was like 300 yards. It wasn't that far. And so, but he moved closer to us now. So I'm like, "All right, click it down one notch. Do one click lower," because I didn't want him to shoot over it. Because everybody kept on shooting high. Mm-hmm. So I was like, "Let's just do one click lower." And so, go ahead.
So yeah, I put the click down. I'm like, "All right, I'm ready." I'm like, "All right, whenever you're ready." I'm like, "Okay." Shot, and all he hears, "All right, he's down. And the relief, which is gone. Oh my God. So, I was like, "Oh, thank God." So I wanted to go to school the next day. Because we started going to in person. I was like, "I don't feel like missing the three tests, all this stuff." And so bad. Oh, I felt so bad for Sebastian. But, yeah. So then, we made Sebastian stay. He had the classes in.
Yeah, Sebastian stayed on top of the mountain while we climbed down. Actually, it was kind of like in a wash. Like, you had to go down the wash and up the wash and then get to the animal.
Yep.
You know what I'm talking about, where you were, obviously.
Yep, I know.
So we got up there, and so we got to his javelina, and go ahead, Joey, tell him what happened with that.
Okay. So we went, I grabbed it, and I'm pulling it out, and my dad's like, "All right, leave it there." I put it down, and it makes this awful noise. And I'm thinking, "Crap, it's not dead." So I jump back because it made this like grunt. And I almost hit a cactus right in front of my eyes. It's all on video. Oh, God.
He acted like a little bitch.
Well, I've heard the story where there's the guy shoot his deer, and he goes up to it, and the deer jerks off and it cut his whole head. So I'm like, I'm not going to shack my javelina. Like, you know, I dragged the whole thing to the spot. That's so scary.
That was funny.
Yeah, so then your dad, "Hey, listen, I put that whole freaking javelina in the mystery range pack. I love that freaking thing."
Yeah, I know, it's the best.
Put the whole thing inside there, 2 seconds, packed it. It was getting dark, you know, it was starting to get dark out. So I'm like, "Hey, let's take pictures real quick, take a couple photos," and put the thing inside the backpack and drug it out. And sure enough, get back to the truck, Gasper and his son, everybody's ready to go. So Sebastian was supposed to go back with them.
Mm-hmm.
He had all his clothes and stuff inside the car. And then I'm like, "Well, Sebastian, listen, why don't you stay with me and your brother goes home now?" And he was like, "You know what? I'm staying," because he wanted to go back to school, obviously, because he, you know, he don't want to miss school. It's such a pain in the ass to like make up all the work. Mm-hmm. He's like, "You know what, Dad? I don't care. I'm staying. I'm going to get one." So sure enough, Joey gets lucky again. Don't have to clean this freaking animal. And I'm just sitting there with Sebastian. We had to clean the skin, everything out. He goes home with Gasper and the son. And then me and Sebastian stay for the next morning. And then that morning is when we went back where Joe's nephew, where he shot.
You said you told me it's where I took Sebastian.
No, no, the next morning.
Yeah.
Is where you took Sebastian, where Joe Rossiello shot.
But it was the canyon before that. Joe shot out the real far south one, and Sebastian, you told me it was where I
took. No, the farther south one we went to.
Okay.
Because I ended up finding the bullet that Anthony shot with Joe's 6.5 Creedmoor.
Okay.
We ended up sitting right there.
Okay. So in the same very same spot that me and Sebastian blasted from. Okay.
Correct. Yeah. Because Sebastian took me right there. He's like, yeah, this is where me and John were hacking glassing from. So he knew where exactly it was.
Okay.
And that's the greatest thing. It's like these kids now, they take me. Like they're not scared. They go. They're great. It's like,
good.
Like Joey, he took me there to where you took him. He's like, Dad, no, it's right here. Come follow me. So they're old enough now. But what I'm saying is that I'm so proud of them because Joey found his own javelina, got on the javelina. I only brought the bag to him with the gun on it. He went and got on it. You know, I was just trying to, you know, be efficient so that
right.
he didn't have to go all the way back to grab the gun. But he got on it. It wasn't like I had to set up the guns anymore. They're good. Like,
right.
That was the part. Like, he found his own animal. And got on his own animal, shot his own animal. He just didn't clean his own animal because, yeah, keep on smiling. So then the next morning I went with Sebastian, and I'll tell the story from Sebastian. You done? All right, go ahead. Just say goodbye.
All right, thanks, Leo.
See you later.
Bye.
So then the next morning I went with Sebastian, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we went to that spot, and I'm glassing. He's glassing. I don't see nothing. And I'm just like, oh, this is going to happen. I'm like, I'm going to have to stay till tonight probably to get one. And I'm seeing all these freaking deer. I'm seeing everything but a freaking javelina. Next thing you know, Sebastian's like, Dad, I got one javelina. And I said, one javelina. I'm like, this is no way. Joey saw one javelina. And there was no other javelina with Joey. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. He gets me on it. He's like, Dad, it's right over there. He tells me exactly where it is, telling me like where the, you know, by the white rock, right underneath it, come down by the like he's talking me into that spot.
Right.
And I'm like, God, these freaking kids know what they're talking about. They know how to like explain to where the animal is. I'm like, that's a big plus. Like they're freaking learning finally, right? I get on it. I'm like, oh, I'm on it. I'm like, great. So I'm like, all right, let's get 50 yards closer, because I could have walked another 50 yards and it was like a better spot. I get 50 yards. He's still on the animal. I get my binos ready. I just put the gun in that vicinity, you know, with the bags on it. And I'm like, okay, I'm on it. I'm like, Sebastian, I'm like, there's like 7 freaking javelina now. And I'm like, oh my God, there's like 10 javelina. I'm like, there's a lot of javelina. Yeah, he's like, yeah, I'm seeing them all.
That's a giant group over there.
Yeah. So he gets on it. I'm like, all right, go, come over here. He gets over there, puts, you know, his ears things on. Gets on it, and now he's calm. I'm like, all right, range it up. I think it was like, I don't know, I want to say like 280 yards, 300 yards, what it was. Picks it up, puts it on. I'm like, you ready? I'm like, he's like, I'm ready. He goes, are you on it, Dad? Are you sure you're on it? Like, he's double checking because he didn't want to shoot like this like last time. I'm like, I'm on it. Gets on there. He goes, boom, done. One shot, one kill. Rolls down into a freaking, like a little Choya cactus freaking plant. And I'm like, he sat there laying down on the gun, looking at it, making sure it was going to go. And he starts like, I don't want to say crying, but like kind of weeping of joy, like happiness. Like he's
right.
like so happy that he got to finally do it. And he's like, I did it on my own. And I was like so proud of him. I was like, you did so good. I'm like, you see, what would you have learned in school today? I said, would you remember? You're going to remember this day for the rest of your life, and you'll never remember what you freaking learned in school. I said, this is school, man. This is life lessons learned right here, right now. He goes, Dad, I'm so happy that you let me stay. And like, you convinced me to stay and not go to school. He goes, this is way better. You know, I'm glad that you and I got to spend time, you know, and this, and that. And I was just like, hell freaking yeah. Like, this is what it's all about.
Right.
It's like, you know, that's what the hunting bug is all about. It's like spending time with the family. And I'm like, listen, I'm actually glad your freaking brother left, because I didn't get to spend time with you this year. I'm like, I spent way more time with your brother because of the elk hunt, and you and I never got to spend that quality time together. He goes, Dad, same. I feel the same way. And, you know, it was special to me, man. I really got to admit that. I mean, I'm happy that both of them tagged out. I'm a little happy that Sebastian tagged out.
Right.
Joey's looking at me right now. But I'm just, it was a good trip, man.
That's awesome.
The food was good. Gas would cook like a freaking beast, man. He did awesome on cooking. And, you know, it was good times with, you know, the whole family there. You know, that was the first time we've all been together in a long time.
Yeah. No, it's been a while for sure. Well, unfortunately, I got to run you off the phone here because I am late. I got to take off to my appointment here. But I'm glad I got to hear the whole story because I really been wanting to hear it, even though I was part of a lot of it. I just didn't hear the two most important things, the ending, you know, and how it went down. But so.
Yeah, no, everything was good. Everything went well.
Yeah. And, I'm glad I got to be a part of it for a little bit anyway.
Yeah, well, next year, for sure, we're taking the girls. I think we should do the girl trip down there.
Yeah, we're gonna put them in for the ham hunt. But
all the girls could go at the same time. So the girls will all be 10 years old and they'll be able to, you know, be successful. All right, cuz, I'll talk to you soon.
All right, man. Thanks. Talk to you later.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Ciao. Bye.
Well, that's it for this episode. Thanks for tuning in. Be sure to check out daysinthewild.com and be sure to give us a review on iTunes. Thank you, and we'll check you out on the next episode.